I'm talking directly to you, Mr. William Grant Stewart, because you're the only person that I really want to talk to, because you're the only person that really ever listens to me. And I was just telling Leon, he came upstairs to get my garbage for me, to take it out, because tonight's garbage night when the garbage goes out. So he kindly came upstairs to take my garbage out. And of course, being me, I wanted to tell stories because I love telling stories. I like talking and I like telling stories, and I can just talk endlessly and endlessly and endlessly. I can, and so you, my friend, are also absolutely wonderful at talking endlessly. I mean, we could just talk forever and never stop. And I think that in a lot of ways that we do that all the time anyway. Because I already told you that when I'm talking to myself, I'm always talking, I'm always, having little fights with, so what? You're hungry again? Yes, I'm hungry again. And then I gotta get up and make something, It's gonna be that way no matter what. I mean, I gotta do certain things. I take really good care of myself. I take very good care of myself, it's not always possible, and there's been times when I haven't been able to take good care of myself because of responsibilities that I had. So I for some reason, I tend to put my responsibilities ahead of my own well-being, which is just stupid. I mean, why? It's none of my whatever. I take something on and I'm going to carry it through. And I don't know what that is. It's a kind of machismo, I suppose. But I mean, I just do things to the point where I feel like, okay, well, yeah, like, how long are you going to be here? And I'm like, oh, I'll be here as long as it takes, whatever that means. Like, I don't know. I'm very thorough, I'm not complaining, or I'm not complaining. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I am a little bit, maybe too thorough. Yeah, I'm ridiculous, as a matter of fact. This fucking stupid. I mean, I used to. I don't know. I do. I'm looking at my past right now and going, oh my God, like, you gotta do everything to the most extreme, push everything to the limits. I do. I push things. I don't know why. It's not supposed to be good to do that. I just do it. I'm constantly pushing all the time. I'm just really interested in how, I'm cautious. It's not like I'm gonna run out off a cliff in the dark or something like that. I'm reasonable. I think I'm very cautious. I don't really hurt myself because I have I never really hurt myself. I don't really hurt my, because I'm careful. I'm careful and thorough, and I don't do, and I kind of get on my own case about it because I try to push myself to be a little less fearful, because I'm pretty fearful about, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't, no interest in hurting myself. Like, I really wanted to, the boys taught me how to skateboard, because I wanted to be like those guys. They're so amazingly cool, right? So cool. Mean, I could skateboard. I can't, I'm lucky I can stand up. I mean, I stand up really well, but I mean, I'm, well, I'm scared of heights, first of all. So that's one thing that you got going on right there. I am a little bit fearful of heights, and I don't like falling down. I fell down today. I was really happy. I was stood up and then I fell down, and I was happy because I was in a cushioned place. And I don't like to hurt myself. I'm really careful about it. So the boys taught me how to skateboard, and they used to get on the school bus, and I used to go out in the road where this, it was a paved road, which was new. But anyway, but I used to, after they'd get on the school bus, I would skate down this little incline just really carefully without, I didn't do any tricks or, any ollies or kick flips or anything, because I didn't want to hurt myself. But I liked the idea of balance. I mean, I think this is a tremendous feat to be able to stand on a board. I mean, I'm a huge fan of any kind of board activities where you're standing on, surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding. I mean, that shit, I love that shit. I just think that's fucking hot. I mean, for me, just the thought. I mean, the thought, because I know that you have to be fully present in order to do that. So I thought, I mean, I'm a terrible mother because to me, like, I just, when the guys were kids, I was like, holy shit, they're so fucking awesome. They could just do these amazing things. And I think it's amazing what they can do. And so I was like, oh, I want to be a little guy like them, you know, like I want to be a big guy like them. So I felt like I was a little guy. I felt like the little brother for quite a long time. For some reason, I felt like the kid, the boy's little brother, you know. I was like, I want to hang out with you guys because you guys are so cool. And they were really cool. I mean, seriously, you know, break dancing and skateboarding and, you know, what else? Dungeon and Dragons. Oh my God, I love that stuff. Like all that stuff, you know, I love it. Live action role playing, you know, Society for Creative Anachronism. I love that stuff. I love comic books. I love like rock and roll, anything that like the boys are doing. I like it. It's not because I want to get laid or anything like that or anything stupid. It's because I just like that stuff. I'm interested in this kind of cultural phenomenon. I love comic books, you know. So that's because I never got really, indoctrinated into the whole gender thing. I didn't really get that. I wasn't really indoctrinated into gender as a kid. You know, I was just like, I just ran around naked most of the time, you know, maybe a pair of shorts or something, but I didn't really think. And, you know, my dad, people go around with their shorts on, their shirts off. You know, that's just not an unusual or the least bit alarming thing for people to do. So I am trying to bite my finger now. So anyway, so I didn't really think about gender. It wasn't an issue for me. I just hung out with my dad. You know, when I hung out with my dad, I did what my dad was doing. And when I hung out with my mom, I did what my mom was doing, you know, which was fine with me because I liked doing all of those things. You know, when I hung out with my dad, we gardened and we did sports-like activities, you know, diving and swimming and, you know, golf. I don't know, all kinds of little things like that. He was very sportsman-like man and very adventurous. And we used to go to, I remember one thing that I used to do with my dad that was so much fun is we used to take the rowboat and I lived on an estate and my father was a caretaker, or that's the story anyway. My dad was, well, of course, that's what he was doing. He was caretaking. So people who owned it lived in the city, in New York City. I believe they both were lawyers, and they had a beautiful place. It was this gorgeous place. And they were never there. I mean, they came up occasionally on the weekends and some holidays, you know. The other places to go and stuff like that. So we had this beautiful place all to ourselves, basically, my mom, my dad, and I, because I was an only child back then for a while, 5 years. But anyway, so then, I forgot. Oh, yeah, we're the caretaker. My father was a caretaker on the estate. So I used to help him with the garden, and we did it, you know, it was an organic garden. You know, they did composting. It was all, you know, they mulching and, you know, netting and, you know, all kinds of companion planting. It was a nice, organic, beautiful gardens. I mean, the gardens were gorgeous. There was just lines of, you know, flowers going down, you know, paths with flower beds on both sides. My dad planted them. And big vegetable garden down over here. There was blueberry bushes. I mean, everything was beautiful. It was the garden. You know, it was totally the garden of earthly delights as far as I was concerned, because I just had this big place all to myself. There are no people to play with. But I didn't really miss them. I mean, I had my parents. I didn't know anything about people. The only time I saw people was when I went down to the city where my grandparents lived in the Bronx. Now, whenever I would go down to the city, I would see people, and they were fascinating, and I absolutely love them. I mean, I didn't love. They were like, well, for me, when I was, I was telling Leon today because he just got a boa constrictor. I think that's what it is. It's a python, a ball python, because it's got bumps on its head. So it's a ball python, I believe. But so Leon, I was telling him about when I was a kid, because I wasn't didn't know anything about being afraid of snakes because I wasn't really a I wasn't exposed to that sort of thing. So when I encountered snakes, they were just beings, and I used to sit on the rock with them, and I would communicate with the snakes, and never having been told that it was not possible to communicate with snakes, I just went ahead and did it. And they were very calm and pleasing creatures. To me, they seemed very wise and calm. I didn't sense any alarm or fear or hostility from them. So we used to just sit there and bask in the sun for hours and hours, and it was nice. I think they were black racers. They were beautiful snakes, and a snake is a very pleasant creature. I do like them for whatever reason, and so I had no human friends, which is still true, I guess. I still have no human friends, but I did have snakes for friends, and I did have fairies in the woods, which I used to bring them treats and put. Try and make little tables and put little dishes and put food in the dishes for them. That's what I used to do. Leprechauns and fairies and stuff like that in the woods. I used to do that. And then there was other kinds of animals and stuff like that. So that was outside. But when my dad wasn't there, I could go outside by myself and interact with whatever. There was a at the foot of the hill, there was a little house, a tiny little cabin with a piano in it, and I used to be able to go down into that little house and mess around with the piano because I didn't know how to play, but I used to play with the piano, which was a lot of fun. And there was the pond, and then there was a bridge that went across. You could drive the tractor or truck or anything across the bridge, and it was a very sturdy bridge made out of creosoted. I think they were like squared off telephone poles or something like that. They were square chunks of wood, and they were creosote because you could smell the creosote off of them. And there was two slots, and the creosoted chunks of wood, whatever you call it, beams, I guess they were, slid into the slots, boom, 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 and that was the dam which created the pond that we used to swim in when I was a kid, which I spent a lot of time in the pond as a child, just swimming. So this brings us back to my activities with my dad. So there was a pond, and there was a rowboat. I mean, there was everything. There was a rowboat and all kinds of things. But there was a rowboat with oars, and of course, and then so then because it was a stream that was dammed. That's what the pond was. Where the stream had been dammed, you could continue and go up the stream. So my dad and I used to take the, I remember that we used to take the rowboat, and then we would go upstream, and we would oar, row. We would row as far as it would go, and then you would get to shallow areas, and we would drag the rowboat over the shallow areas, and then we would go up further, and stuff like that. And sometimes, I mean, it was so we'd have these great adventures, and I used to call it the jungle, something like that. So those are fun adventures, and I remember. I mean, I have full memories of I mean the sandbars and the plants growing and the sounds of the birds and the water and the rowboat, and my dad, and his freckled back and this kind of stuff, and it was a pleasant experience, of course. So then when I wasn't with my dad, I was with my mom. She didn't have much. I mean, she liked to read, and she read to me a lot, which was wonderful. And I actually could read before I went to school. Before I went to kindergarten, I knew how to read just because what else was there to do? Nothing really. You know, my mom read a lot. So I mean, she was like, upset. My mom, okay. I mean, God bless her, but she used to kick me out of the house and lock the door, and she'd read, I guess. I mean, she'd have stacks of books and she'd read them. So she'd kick me out of the house and lock the door and read. And that was fun and dandy because I'd be outside doing stuff. Or if it was raining, I used to just go into my room where I had my own books and toys. My favorite toy was, it wasn't really a toy, I thought it was an appliance. I had one of those little box, record player. I had, you know, it was a record player, like a suitcase, and it opened, the top flipped open. And I had stacks of records that my parents gave me. So I had this record player and records, you know, which was my favorite thing. And I used to just, I had a lot of Shirley Temple records. And this big volume of Reader's Digest, Festival of Light Classical Music. And I know all the songs on them still. And I used to dance to them. And I used to sing along with Shirley Temple, which was also a lot of fun. On the good ship, lollipop, it's nice, trip to the candy shop. So that's, you know, and they were nice records. They were clear vinyl. I mean, they were like yellow and red, orange, blue vinyl, but you could see through it. And those were kind of nice records. And I had Winnie the Pooh, which was my, and I had stuffed animals and dolls. And I used to take my dolls for adventures, you know. We would take all the stuffed animals and dolls, and we would go. I would put the. I would say, "Okay, we're gonna go." I would turn my bed into a wagon, and I would just take all my toys and put them in the back of the wagon and set them up with pillows so they're all sitting up and happy. And then I would drive someplace, and we would go, and then we would have a picnic. You know, we'd get all the dolls out. You know, the wagon and sit them down and get little teapots. And so I've always been in the hospitality industry, you know, especially with no people. I mean, I had to do everything. I used to just anything. I would feed everything. When I wasn't doing that, I was outside building buildings. You know, I used to take rocks and build rooms and then designate. I remember doing this. I so distinctly remember. I would just build rooms and, you know, have doors and windows out, you know, kind of like outlined by the rocks or pebbles. And I used to do that with roads and, you know, arrange the rooms and this and the other thing. So it's definitely my thing is this kind of, you know, hostel or hotel business, you know. And because I like it. I like people. I like to be because I'm happy by myself. But if I'm with other people who are also happy, I'm even happier. You know, I don't like to be with people who are not happy, especially if they think it's my fault. Because if it's not my fault, I can't do anything about it. There's nothing I can do about it if it's not my fault. If that makes any sense. If I wanted to hurt people, I would probably do a really good job of it. Because whatever I do really, really well. So if I wanted to hurt people, I would probably be shredding them. I mean, I would. I would be absolutely, totally, you know, mismanaging people. No, I'd be fucked up. If I wanted to hurt people, I would hurt them, and I don't. And I feel bad when I do. It's not something that is my predilection is not to hurt people. I like to, you know, I'm kind of simple. I like to be happy. You know, I like people to be happy. And then I like to be with people. I like to be with happy people doing stuff that's fun. I mean, it's just stupid. Why is that? What's wrong with that? I mean, why is there something wrong with wanting to do? I like, you know, my ideal thing. My ideal way to pass time is to be hanging out with somebody, and I don't really care. I mean, my friend Miss D, the crackhead, used to come into my room to get off the streets for whatever reason, and I don't care. I'm like, all right, come on, and she'd come in and sleep on the floor. So I'd throw her a pillow and a blanket, and she'd sleep right on the floor. She didn't care, And and then when she was awake, then we did cook. I have a whole bunch of cooking. I have constructional cooking videos with my friend, the crackhead Miss D, who I loved her. She was a beautiful, intelligent black woman with white eyelashes and eyebrows and really short, not, you know, like almost shaved white hair. Tall, just absolutely gorgeous. So I bet she took her teeth out. She was even cuter. So cute. But anyway, but she used to come in my room and we would talk forever, endlessly, and do art projects and cooking videos and stuff like that. And she could stay on my floor for 4 or 5 days and not have any thought of going out and getting, you know, given blowjobs in the alley to do crack. I mean, she just didn't feel like it. She would rather hang out with me because it's a lot of fun. And eventually she'd just leave because she had to, you know, for whatever reason, she just had to, you know, I don't know. I mean, she had her own, I don't know. People are just, people do what they got to do, you know, basically. But, you know, so what I'm saying is that for me, I'm bugging poor Charlie over there. He's got the kitchen that I love this. His kitchen is like, it's beautiful to me. I mean, I've prepared wonderful meals out of, when Miss D and I used to do cooking classes, we used to do them in my tiny little apartment, the size of most, you know, many people's closet. I mean, I had an apartment the size of, I've been in people's closets that were actually bigger than the apartment. That it wasn't an apartment, it was a room with a bathroom in it, you know. But the bathroom was in the room. It wasn't separate from the room. It was, you had the toilet, the sink, and the shower were right in the room. So I just arranged it so that I had to, you know, dressers and things like that to delineate the area. So but anyway, so there was that, a ways of passing the time. But I can pass my time endlessly. I'm amazed at how little interest I have in hanging out with people. The only interest I have in hanging out with people is talking, and I don't even need to do that anymore. I can just talk to this thing, which is fine, because then I really don't need people. And maybe someday in a far off universe, somebody will hear me talking and be like, wow, that's interesting. Because now you get something like Leon. I'm trying to tell us, I'm talking because I fucking love to talk, and I'm talking and talking and talking. And Leon's like, you know, they look around, there's no interest. You know, I'm telling these great stories, no interest. No, because nobody's getting killed, or there's no, I don't know, whatever bullshit. You know, so then I'm just, I'm telling great stories. I do tell great stories. And he's looking at his watch, and I'm like, well, what? And he goes, oh, I want to take your garbage out. And I said, well, take the garbage out then and get the fuck out of here. You know, because I just don't like being dismissed as trivial or unimportant. It bothers me. That's why I like, you know, that's why I like. I was telling Leon, I said, Graham Stewart can talk to me for 4 hours and not really, you never get bored. I don't get bored. I never get bored with Graham. He talks with you. You know, he's talking away. I could listen all day. I could literally listen all day and all year. You know, I mean, it's just conversations are, you know, telling stories is, I almost think it's the point. What's the point of all the rest of this stuff? I mean, everything that we do is a way to tell stories, you know. I mean, you have to eat, sure. You know, but I don't really, I mean, that's fun too. I mean, that's another sensory thing altogether. I mean, if you're gonna eat, you know, I'm of the mind where a lot of time I don't even think about it. I don't think about eating. I'm just gonna eat stuff, you know, whatever the fuck there, I'll eat it. If it's there, I'll eat it. I don't care what it is. You know, I eat anything. I find something on the ground and I eat it, and then I say, oh my god, I shouldn't have eaten that. What the fuck was that? But you know, it never bothers me. It's pretty disgusting. I mean, I have eaten stuff out of the garbage and stuff like that just because of whatever. I don't care. It's, you know, you get it, you pick an apple off the ground. I don't know. I don't incline myself to worry about every goddamn thing like everybody else does. It's just not my style, I guess. You know, I mean, something comes along, I'm going to eat it. You know. The hell? Charlie gave me a whole bunch of food today. It's all snack food, which is my favorite kind of food. So anyway, I'm trying to try. So I forget what I was talking about. It probably wasn't that important. But I have been talking for 25 minutes. So I think I'm going to start right now.